Agnidasutaha. The sons of Maharaj Agnidra. Te, they. Matuhu, of the mother. Anugrahat, by the mercy or by drinking the breast milk. Autpatikena, naturally. Eva, certainly. Samhanana, well-built body. Bala, strength. Upetaha, obtained. Pitra, by the father. Vibhaktaha, divided. Atmatulya, following their own. Namani, possessing names. Yathabhagam, divided properly. Jambudvipavarshini, different parts of Jambudvip, probably Asia and Europe combined together. Babujuhu, ruled. Translation. Because of drinking the breast milk of their mother, the nine sons of Agnidra naturally had strong, well-built bodies. Their father gave them such a kingdom in a different part of Jambudvip. Their father gave them each a kingdom in a different part of Jambudvip. The kingdoms were named according to the names of the sons. Thus the sons of Agnidra ruled the kingdoms they received from their father. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Acharyas specifically mention in this verse the words Matu Anugrahat, by the mercy of their mother, refer to the breast milk of their mother. In India, it is common belief that if a baby is fed his mother's milk for at least 6 months, his body will be very strong. Besides that, it is mentioned herein that all the sons of Agnidra were endowed with the nature of their mother. Bhagavad Gita 1:40 also declares, Strishu Dushtashu Varshneya Jayate Varnasankaraha. When women are polluted, Varnasankara, unqualified children are generated, and when the Varna Sankara population increases, the entire world becomes hellish. Therefore, according to Manu Samhita, a woman needs a great deal of protection in order to remain pure and chaste so that her children can be fully engaged for the benefit of human society. So, the main, you could say, the main reason that the women are to be so kept in a somewhat subjugated way is not in a negative way, deprecative way, but it's a protective measure. Because physically they're weaker and they can easily be overcome. We never hear of a man being overcome by a woman that she forcibly arrested and engaged. No, it's always that the man forcibly takes advantage of the weaker sex. So the Vedic culture considers this very important. Why? Because the Varna Sankara, Sankaro Narakaya Eva, Sankaro, in other words, when there's unwanted progeny then the whole world becomes hellish. Why does it become hellish? Because when the woman is not protected, then she gets exploited, she gets polluted. Just like, I'll give you an example. It is stated in Vedic scriptures that Kamsa was not exactly the son of Ugrasena. This came out once. He was speaking with his elephant trainer, and the topic came up, and Kamsa said that he was not the son of Ugrasena. And so the elephant trainer said, well, explain. So Kamsa explained that Narad Muni had told him that formerly his mother, Padmavati, she had gone with some girls to the heavenly places, and it was very beautiful, and it incites lusty desires. Whenever we get into a very comfortable situation, our lusty desires are incited. Just like when they go to the beach, they take off their clothes. Maybe not here yet, but it's coming. You'll learn from the West how to do these, how to have more sense gratification. But even in the heavenly planets, when they go there, they think it is a very nice place, beautiful breezes with flowers and nice lakes, and they just think sense gratification. And especially when the women go there and the men go there together. If it were just women, that would be okay. Prabhupada said, boys are girl good and girls are good, but boys and girls together are bad. If it was just boys there, it's all right. Or just girls, but no. When the women and the men go... So anyway, she was there with just girls. But then came a daitya, a member of the demoniac, and he had a great spaceship called Shobha. His name was Drumila, and he came flying in, and he saw this beautiful Padmavati. He said, who is this? Is this Rati herself? Is it Lakshmi? He went through all the beautiful women, you know, in the universe. He was being very poetic. Who is this beautiful woman? But it wasn't just poetry. He really wanted to know because he was completely captivated. He kept looking at her, and finally, the demons also practice yoga. They also have mystic powers. So he went into meditation, and in his meditation he could find out, he knew, aha, this is the wife of Ugrasena. He said, he told his chariot driver, he said, I must have this woman. I must have her. There's no other alternative. So he came up with a good plan, and he had mystic power. He could change his form, Kama Rupini. He could take any form he liked. So he took a form that looked exactly like her husband. So he came before her. She thought it was her husband had come to enjoy with her, and she gave herself. But then, at one point, after she had given herself, she realized, you're not my husband. Who are you, you rascal? You've cheated me. Why did you pollute me? She specifically used those terms. Why did you pollute me? Now you've ruined my whole family, my whole dynasty. Everything is ruined. She chastised him on and on and on. So this is correct, that when the woman becomes polluted by adultery or by illicit sex, then the whole dynasty is ruined, the children are ruined, and look what kind of child she got. Kamsa. So now we have so many little Kamsas running around all over the planet, all over Bharatkanda. Why? Because Varnasankara, not following the Garbhadhan Sanskara. The Vedic system is Garbhadhan Sanskara. Before union, first of all, there must be marriage. That's the first principle. It can't be union without marriage. And even within marriage, they have to prepare themselves, purify their consciousness by Garbhadhan Sanskara. There are 10 Sanskaras, but Srila Prabhupada introduced at least a few of them as being very essential, and this was one. One of the most important ones he introduced to all grihasthas. If you want to have sex, you can have sex, but dharma virudhar bhuteshu kamosmi bharatarshiva. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I am that sex life which is not contrary to religious principles. If you engage in that type of sex life, then that's Krishna. Then you're in Krishna consciousness. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, if I could produce 100 Krishna conscious children, I'm prepared to have 100 times sex life. So there's nothing wrong with that type of sex. They prepare themselves, Garbhadhan Sanskara. Then, the consciousness of the parents determines the consciousness of the child they get. How does that work? Does it mean that when the... No, I'll explain what it means. Don't speculate. What it means is that because of their consciousness, a particular soul will be sent to them that is in a similar consciousness. Who sends the souls? The demigods. The demigods are in charge of all these things. Just as the heads of our temple, if you say, we need someone to go to do a preaching program, one head of the temple says, all right, you go and you go. And another, we need someone to give class, okay, that you go. We need someone to clean the temple, you clean. So they're sending people to do different things. So similarly, the demigods are also sending souls. Okay, you need to go here. There's some very nice devotees. We need a good devotee. Who wants to be a devotee? Okay, you go. Who wants to be raised in a devotee family? You go here. They did Garbhadhan Sanskara. So you get the good souls. The souls that are very interested in Krishna consciousness and want to have good association. And if they're having illicit sex, just send that dog. That's a little exaggerated. Elephant, no. Monkey, cow, and lion. Alright, you go there. If he's in ignorance, monkey, the one who is a monkey, alright, you get a chance. You take the birth there. And if he's in passion, if the parents are in passion, then okay, then the lion can go there. And if in goodness, then alright, then the cow can go. Or other combinations. There's so many combinations of karma. But it depends on the consciousness of the parents, and they will send a particular soul in that matches that consciousness. Just like we see the birds. The birds have their eggs and then they hatch, and the bird comes out, and the bird is completely satisfied with that body. And not only is he satisfied, he's also trained how to use it. He's trained how to fly. He never makes a mistake. The first time he goes out of the nest, he flies. That means he already had some training. Otherwise, how would he know? How old is the bird when he goes out of the nest? Who knows? A few months? A few days? After a few days, he's already expert pilot. Our little baby humans, if you put them in a little airplane, say now you can fly, after a few days they'll crash, for sure. But so that bird is already trained up. So, when the women are not duṣṭāsṭu, varṣṇe, strīṣu duṣṭāsṭu varṣṇeya. This is Arjuna speaking. And he was speaking true. What he was saying was correct. He was not necessarily putting it in the right perspective, but completely. But what he was saying was correct. If the women are unprotected, if the men are killed, then the women will be unprotected. If the women are unprotected, then they'll be polluted. When they're polluted, there'll be unwanted progeny. When there's unwanted progeny, lupta pindaka dodhika. Lupta pindaka dodhika. Patanti. All the principles of offering pinda to the forefathers will be lost. They'll all be in hell. They're in hell or they'll go to hell. Everything will be ruined. Everything will be destroyed. That's why this dress, the modern society now, they're teaching the women how to give up the sari. Of course, in the West, they've given it up long ago. Mini skirts and topless, everything. But we're following that. And it's unfortunate because the protection, there's many protections for women, but the main protection is her shyness. She has to remain very shy. Prabhupada told about his own parents. He said the policy was in the Vedic culture that the woman is not supposed to be seen by any other man, including the son. So the women would go out, they'd be covered. Is there anyone old enough to say here that in their youth the women went out and they were completely covered, not even the sun could see them? That was the policy in Prabhupada's time. But you see how each generation we get further and further. This is Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga means everything becomes deteriorated. Each generation gets down, down, down. Therefore, you're fortunate you've taken it now to Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, don't wait for another lifetime. Because if you think I'll come back in the next lifetime, I'll be a Brahmin, or I'll be... No, you don't know what's going to happen. It's becoming so degraded. So, the woman should dress properly. That means in Vaishnava attire, and they should be married when they're old enough, and before they're old enough, they should be protected by their father. Bana was a demon, and Banasura, he wouldn't even let his daughter see any man. Even he was a demon, what to speak of the devotees. He was so careful that my daughter should not be even see a man, or a man should see her. Of course it didn't work, but that's another story. But that was his desire. That was a good desire. It's the duty of the father to protect the daughters. His job is to make sure that she's given as a virgin to her husband. That's his duty. Father and mother. And not just any boy or man, but it should be a very elevated one, a Krishna conscious one. Never mind, I was in one place in India and some parents came to me. They said, our daughter's getting older and we want her to get married, but she can't find someone in her caste because, you know, it's different. So they were concerned about the caste and the social. But more important is concern that the husband and wife are devotees. That's the most important thing. That if they're both good devotees, then the marriage will be compatible. So the husband should be Krishna. The husband should be devoted to Guru. He should be a good devotee of the Guru. And the wife should be a good devotee of her husband. This is the Vedic system. Because then everything will go very nicely. He's assistant to his guru. His guru is assistant to his guru in this way. And she's assisting her husband. Otherwise, Strishu Dushtasu Varshneya Jayate Varna Sankara. Everything is lost. Society is downtrodden. So we have a big problem in the world. Vedic culture is being given up. The only saving grace is Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan movement, because without that, there's no hope. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam Kalo Nasteva 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 Gatiranyata. Now if we simply preach that everybody should be follow the Vedic system of Varnashram, people will not be able to accept it. It's too far gone. Lord Chaitanya also said when Ramananda Roy proposed that the means of attaining perfection is Varnashram, Lord Chaitanya said, yes, but that's external. It won't work in Kali Yuga. So the process for Kali Yuga, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita it says, the only religious principle is chanting the holy names of the Lord in Kali Yuga. You can talk so many religious principles, but if you don't chant, then you won't be religious. And if you do chant, then you'll gradually become religious, even if you're doing other nonsense things. We can see the Westerners are examples. When Prabhupada came to New York, he didn't start teaching brahmacharya. No, not immediately. Later, yena tena prakara ena manakrishna nevesha sarva vidhi nishedha shur etayor evakinkara. In the beginning, simply let them become attracted to Krishna. This is from Rupa Goswami. Let them become attracted to Krishna somehow or other, and then later on all the rules and regulations can be introduced. There are so many rules and regulations of Vedic culture. And we see, even in San Francisco was more permissive than New York even. All the boys and girls were living together, but they were coming and they liked chanting. Boys and girls coming together, hippies, they liked chanting and they liked prasadam. So that's all. And then later on, when they became more attracted and they said, Prabhupada, can we become initiated? He said, yes, certainly you can become initiated, but you must become married first. Oh, we never thought of that. But that's all right. You become married, then you can become initiated. So he introduced that aspect. Actually, this movement is reintroducing the Vedic culture. But the chanting is the primary thing. Because without chanting, who will be able to keep these religious principles? We see even people born in Brahminical families, Brahmin families, they can't maintain. But people born in families of dog eaters or cow eaters or whatever eaters, if they chant Hare Krishna, then they can very easily maintain the principles. Even brahmacharya, they can maintain, or grihastha, or vanaprastha, or sannyas, they can maintain very easily by chanting. Therefore, 16 rounds is the minimum. Don't go less than that if you want to maintain your principle as on the platform of Vaishnavism. So another point here is breast milk. The mother's milk is especially endowed with nutrients. About 6 months. Let's say a man lives 100 years. If he gets, now mostly they're not even giving 6 months, I think. Sometimes it's even more than that. In the Vedic cultures, the child could be older and going for milk. That's nice. Now they're giving that up. But even, let's say, 6 months or something like that, then what happens? Because the milk of the mother is for good body, good mind, good intelligence. Then she has another mother. She has a gomata, she has a mother cow, takes over. Now the mother cow, some people object now. There's objections going on by the, shall we say, non-Vaishnav or non-Vedic camp. They're saying, no, you shouldn't drink the milk from a cow. Cow's milk is only for the calf. But I did a study. I did some research and I found out from an expert that the calf only requires 7% of a mother's milk. 7%. So what about the other 93%? It's meant for humans. That's why she's Gomata. She's one of the seven mothers. 93% is meant for human consumption. Because she's the mother of all the humans. And what is the value of her milk? It's liquid religiosity. It endows liquid religiosity. One who takes that milk. It's a very easy way to become religious. And what's another principle? That the milk, it nourishes the brain, the finer tissues of the brain, so that one can understand transcendental knowledge. It's not easy to understand transcendental knowledge. For example, you take a dog, his brain is not sufficiently developed that he can understand these, or animals, or some humans. But those who have good brain cells, Sumedha Saha, they can engage in Sankirtan. So milk is essential if you want to understand Vedic knowledge. And it's also very good for the body. There's so many vitamins and minerals. It's a miracle food. It's been going on for thousands of generations, humans. Only in this generation, in Kali Yuga, now we're saying milk is not good. But don't believe it. You have to have faith. Krishna was drinking the milk right from the udder. He would drink it whatever way he could get it, from the udder, or from the yogurt, or from the butter. So, any questions?
There's a woman who's following everything and then let's say she gets raped. It's not her choice, it happens by her karma or whatever. So what is this meaning of polluted? You know, it's a word that gets bandied about in our talks, but what's polluted? The consciousness of the person is not polluted. as far as I know, I mean, I don't quite get why being forced to have sex with another man pollutes an entire dynasty. I don't know how that. What's the physics of that? What's the metaphysics of that?
It's a good, thoughtful question. Well, she's, first of all, this person, the person who's doing the raping, is a demon. In this particular case, Padmavati, this Drumila was a big demon. And his consciousness was anything but pure. So, even to associate, even to see the face of such a person is contaminating. What to speak of being forced. Of course, whatever horrible things happen to us by our karma, and by the way, nothing happens without karma. So, whatever horrible things may happen to us because of our karma, they can all be, as you indicated in an indirect way, can all be purified by Krishna consciousness or by chanting the holy names. But certainly, there is such a thing as becoming polluted, becoming influenced by the modes of ignorance and passion. And that certainly does happen by association. Asat sanga tyaga e vaishnava achar. So that's why women need to be protected, so that they won't be in that circumstance, so that they won't become polluted. And that's why the Vedic culture is so great in championing protecting of women. It's women. It's women because these are the mothers of the children of our society. And if we want good children, then otherwise what happens if you trace out, if you go into looking at the whole ramifications of what happens when there is an unwanted progeny, well, what do they do? Well, some doctors will recommend, well, you should abort the child. So that's murder. Now they're implicated in another sinful activity. They're already one unfortunate or impure act has been performed. Now another impure act, if there's abortion, or raising the child, what is he going to be? According to what we heard earlier on, the demigods put some child that's very materialistic. So now we're filling up our family, or filling up the earth with such demoniac-minded souls. So, the ramifications are limitless, how it impure, from the point of view of fame, from the point of view of... But again, there is a negative side, but there's also a solution. And therefore, really, we, as a Krishna consciousness movement, Prabhupada stressed more on solving the contamination problem than pointing it out. Everybody knows that things are getting more and more degraded. Anyone with sober intelligence. But simply pointing out the flaws is not sufficient. We need to resolve the issue. So the resolve is that if something unfortunate happens to someone, as you mentioned, or so many other unfortunate things, we won't even mention them, but they can all be wiped out by chanting Hare Krishna and engaging in pure devotional service. Sarva dharman parichaja mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva pape bhyo moksha ishami ma shucha. So sometimes when the Vedas speak of contaminations and pollutions. It's referring to the material side of things. And there are such, just like, for example, if the Vedas also say if you're drinking out of a pot and that pot has wine in it, then it remains impure, it remains polluted. That's the nature of wine. It pollutes. So there are things that do pollute in the material world. And bad association is the greatest polluter.
Hare Krishna.
Oh, okay.
We come to know that man and woman are mutually illusory to each other, right?
Mutually illusory.
Illusory to each other.
Illusioned?
To each, they are Maya.
Illusory man, or illusioned?
Illusion. Man and woman are mutually having illusion, Maya.
Yes.
How about man to man and woman to woman? Are they reality?
That's also illusion, unless if they're attracted for the wrong reason. If they're friends.
No, not that way. One man is reality for another man.
No, not illusion in the sense that they don't exist. Illusion in the sense that the man thinks that this woman is attractive and will give me pleasure and satisfy my desires. That's the illusion. And the woman thinks that this man will take care of me and will love me and will protect me and give me pleasure. That's the illusion. They're thinking that this bag of stool and urine is going to give me pleasure. That's the illusion. It's not that illusion in the sense that they don't exist.
Oh, I see. Thank you.
Yeah, illusion has different meanings. One illusion means it will of the wisp. It's not real. But another meaning for illusion means illusion in that the person appears to be something that they're not. This body appears, it's made after the spiritual images. So it's not difficult to become illusioned by it because it looks very similar to the spiritual bodies.
Hare Krishna. Laws of material nature are very stringent. Though observing of physical brahmacharya is very difficult, it may not be impossible. But then can you prescribe some do's and don'ts which will help us in observing mental brahmacharya?
Think of Krishna. Madan Mohan. Madan Mohan, his eyebrows are like bows for protecting the brahmacharis. Because he defeats Cupid, Madan Mohan. He's the defeater of Cupid. Cupid is the defeater of brahmacharis. Or, shall we say, not real brahmacharis, but that's the danger, is Cupid. Cupid is the danger for everyone in the material world. So we have to become attracted to Krishna and Radha Krishna. And if becoming attracted to Radha Krishna, Prabhupada said in Mayapur, he said, if when you think of Radha Krishna you become lusty, then don't think of Radha Krishna. Think of Lord Chaitanya, because Lord Chaitanya is Radha Krishna combined in one form. So think of Lord Chaitanya or Radha Krishna, chant Hare Krishna, be engaged in devotional service, control your eating, atyahara prayasascha, we have to control the eating, yuktahara viharascha. This is, six Goswamis teach us this, how to regulate the eating, don't eat more than required, just enough to keep body and soul together. It's not easy, But at least we start with taking Krishna prasadam only, and then gradually we take only Krishna prasadam that we require. Okay?
Okay. Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you.
Keep always in association of devotees. Don't associate with non-devotees, because non-devotees are thinking of mundane things and doing mundane things. So then we become habituated by their association. But if we stay in the association, now you may say, does that mean we only stay in the temple? We just put chains on the outside and we can't go out? No. We can also go out, but we should go out with strength to give them Krishna association, not to take their association, not to see what books they're reading. Not to say, oh, what books are you reading? No, you say, no, why don't you read the books I'm reading? See the difference? We go there to give them our books, not to get their books. We go out there to invite them to come and associate with us, not that we go out and associate and eat with them. And thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.